Bridget and Louise, who are leading our worship today. After the service, we have tea, coffee, mince pies, and you're very welcome to come and join us. And welcome to everybody here. Welcome to everybody on Zoom and YouTube for joining in this service as well. I'll now light the candle for a moment of peace before we start our worship. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all on this wonderful day. A special welcome to anyone who is joining us for the first time. I would warn you, the service will not be long, so if anybody's worried about whether their turkey's cooking too fast or they've done enough sprouts, don't worry. Our call to worship comes from Matthew's Gospel. You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. We have lighted a candle for each Sunday in Advent, and the time has come to light the final candle. So Mel and Esme are going to come and light all five candles on our Christmas wreath.
We lit the first candle to pray for hope. We lit the second candle to pray for peace. We lit the third candle to pray for joy. We lit the fourth candle to pray for love. Now we light the Christmas candle and we rejoice that Jesus is born. He is hope, peace, joy, and love for all the world. A Saviour is born to us today. Alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, you bring the life of God into the world. Fill us with your light now and always. Amen.
Thank you. Let us join in singing our first hymn, Good Christian Men Rejoice. The words are on the screen. Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Firstly, a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, for the awe and wonder we will encounter today, for the joy on the faces of those around us, for the hope that lights up in each of us, for the generosity, the love, and the peace that today brings, we give you thanks. For all the times you confound and astonish us, for the surprises in our lives, and the unexpected gifts and pleasures, we give you thanks. Help us to be ready, like the shepherds, to leave the everyday tasks behind and to go out and look for you in our time, in our place, in your world. Now a prayer of confession. This week we may not have been the people God knows we can be. Maybe we have been snappy or impatient. We might even have lost our temper. We have possibly taken our stress out on others. Perhaps we have not noticed the need we could have fulfilled. We are sorry, Father God. Forgive us, remind us that you love us, and enfold us in your grace, so that we may respond again to the call to follow you. You know us and forgive us. We give thanks for this, along with the multitude of gifts from you. Accept our praise and worship. Help us to know that you are with us every day. Now let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I think Louise is going to.
Why do we celebrate Christmas? Every year we ask the same question and we get the same answer. It's Jesus' birthday, God's chosen son. But why did that first Christmas happen the way it did? Was it all about the census and everyone needing to go back to where they were born? Or had God got it all planned well in advance?
Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some figures down here. There's a stable with wise men and shepherds, but there's something missing. Can anybody tell me what's missing from that scene? Perhaps you can't see what you have. Let me come down. Okay. Right, we've got shepherds. Mary and Joseph, that's right. Well, just like Mary and Joseph did all those years ago, the Mary and Joseph from this set have been on a journey. Various members and friends of the church have hosted Mary and Joseph in their homes. And it's been around, I think, from the beginning of the month, was it? Yes. So all through December, Mary and Joseph have been in a different home. And, I hope, yes, and Chris, who had them last, are going to place them in their proper position in
and
Right, that's complete now, that's good. Okay. Our first lesson is next, and it's from Luke's Gospel and will be read by Julia. Thank you, Julia.
Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay at the inn.
Thank you, Julia. Now, I wonder if anyone has brought any presents to show us.
I like this bit, looking at people's presents.
Right, who's going to be brave and come out? Come on then, boys. I know I can rely on you. Okay. because it's in my garden. Okay, but I have got a picture. Do you know what I mean? It's a rose. I'll show everybody. It's a rose called. Oh, I can't be A very dear friend bought me some roses for Christmas, and the thing about these roses is that they give me they didn't actually give me much pleasure when I was planting them, but they will give me pleasure, I hope, if I look after them for years to come, won't they? And every time I look at those roses, I will be able to remember the kindness of the person who gave them to me. So we'll think a bit more about gifts a little later on. But thank you very much, boys, and thank you, Dorothy, for showing me your presence.
Right. Let's see, where are we next? Okay. Now, I think we have a special visitor to come and see us.
Why ever did God need shepherds to be part of the story?
Well, I think I could help there.
First of all, we shepherds were part of the story because we were just about the only people who were awake at that time of night. Even the bakers weren't up. Everybody was asleep, apart from us. You've got to remember that Bethlehem was full of exhausted travellers, only too pleased to get some sleep. They would have been sound asleep, but we were awake. And God wanted to make a point, I think. We shepherds sort of show a lot of normal, everyday human characteristics. I mean, being a shepherd is, I suppose it's a respectable job, but it's hardly top-notch, is it? We aren't exactly well-educated. Well, some can't even sign their own names. But we have a lot of common sense, which is what you've got to have when you've got all those sheep to look after. We're brave. Sometimes there's wild animals out there, and all we've got is a big old stick to shoo them away, or a catapult to try and scare them. It's no good being scared of the dark either. There's no light but the moon if you're lucky, and timid people, they wouldn't make good shepherds. And you have to be strong too, no matter what the weather throws at you. We have to walk miles to find good grazing, and we sleep outdoors. There isn't much time for family life or for a day off. But we're caring as well. We have to work together and help one another out. If somebody's ill or at lambing time, and we have to all help each other to look after the sheep. And the last thing I want to say is that when you're out there for hours on end, you have time to think. You look around at the hills and that huge sky and all the stars, and you just know there's more going on than just ordinary people trying to make enough money to feed their wife and kids. God feels like he's all around you all the time. We were afraid when we saw those angels. That was the last thing we were expecting. But we knew they'd come from God. So we said, all right, let's go and see this baby. And then we went and told everybody what we'd seen.
Thank you. It's time to sing again. Our next hymn is Come and Join the Celebration.
Now, I don't think you can have a celebration without chocolate, do you? So while we're singing this hymn, Isla is going to pass the tin of celebration around. Please help yourselves, but don't try and sing and eat at the same time. Of course, an accident. Narrative in Luke's Gospel and will be read by James.
Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the field, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day, in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby, wrapped in strips of cloth, and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them, back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them.
Our offering will now be taken. As always on Christmas morning, the offering is for the work of the St Martin's Housing Trust, who run the night shelter, which provides accommodation and food for homeless people. Toby and Elliot are going to do it for us. money may be used to help the poor and needy in our city. Amen. Now I believe we have another visitor.
Why do the wise men need to be there?
We wise men, or astrologers, or kings, are a big part of your nativity story. We brought gifts of great significance, and we put wicked King Herod off the scent. But our story is told only in Matthew's Gospel, in just 12 verses. If God had planned every detail of Jesus' birth and the way it would be remembered, then we wise men fit in perfectly. We're the opposite of the shepherds. We are highly educated academics who study the movement of the stars and the planets and try to work out the significance for human life. We came from different places and were studying separately, but we all knew that something very, very important was due to happen. And when a brighter star than we'd ever seen before appeared in the heavens, we knew this must be the sign we'd been waiting for. The birth of the Messiah was told of in ancient writings as someone who would come and save the people and lead them and to become a great nation, God's chosen people. We wise men decided that the birth of the Messiah was the only reason that such a great and shining star would appear, and decided to follow it to where it led.
Time to sing again now. Our next hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Earlier in the service, Toby and Elliot asked the question, why are shepherds and wise men part of the Christmas story? Were they just random visitors, or was it all part of God's plan? We heard a little about the character of the shepherds. They were rough, down-to-earth folk with little formal education. They were slightly on the edge of polite society, spending most of their time in the fields. They could even have been a bit smelly, not having ready access to soap and water. But we also heard that the shepherds were strong and resourceful. They had a great deal of common sense and would do anything to protect their sheep. The wise men, on the other hand, were very different people. They were highly educated academics who devoted their lives to the study of the stars and planets. They knew that the sighting of a very bright star would indicate that a special baby had been born. The birth of a Messiah was told of in ancient writings as someone who would come and save everyone and lead them to become a great nation, God's chosen people. When these learned men saw a particularly bright star, they knew that they must follow it. We can see that these two groups of people were very different from each other. So what did they have in common? Both the shepherds and the wise men were strong, resourceful people who knew their path in life and followed it without hesitation. They were caring and committed and trusted in God. When the angel came to the shepherds, and the star was seen by the wise men, they didn't hesitate or argue, but went straight away to find the newborn king. When they found him, they were convinced that they had indeed been shown something special. So what does the narrative teach us about how we should live? We are ordinary people, just like the shepherds. We may not be particularly well educated, but we have a degree of common sense. We have to be brave to live life the way we know is right, despite the ways of others living around us. The wise men were single-minded in their pursuit of the Messiah. Do we have that same single-mindedness in following our Saviour? Both sets of visitors to the baby Jesus were willing to give up what they were doing and go without argument to find the baby king. They accepted the message from God and acted upon it without question. We are told that the shepherds went straight away to tell everyone what they had seen. How often can we say that we do that? Do we share the good news of Christ's birth with everyone we meet? Just like the shepherds and wise men, we know that with God everything is possible. They accepted the message which was given to them. We pray that we can do the same. Why were the simple shepherds and the learned wise men chosen especially by God? Perhaps it was because they were so very different. In choosing them, God is telling us that everyone is welcome in his kingdom, whether we are rich or poor, academic or practical, confident or hesitant. We are all loved and chosen by God. We don't know what happened to those people who figured so prominently in the narrative of the first Christmas. I'm sure that their lives were never the same again. Perhaps this Christmas is a time when we should rededicate our lives to following the greatest King of all. And going back to the gifts we mentioned earlier, I spoke of my rose trees as a gift that would give me pleasure for many years to come. The gift of Jesus, given to all of us, can be with us throughout our lives. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, on this day of rejoicing, when we are pleased to share the joy of Christmas with friends and family, we acknowledge that there are many people in the world for whom there is no joy at this time. We remember all those who are affected by war, those who have been injured or who have lost loved ones, people who have been forced to flee their homes and become refugees. Help us to support them with our prayers. As we look forward to our Christmas meal, we think of the people who do not have enough food this day. For those in parts of the world where climate change has made it difficult to grow crops, and for those in our own country who have to choose between keeping warm and having enough to eat. We pray that we might give generously to support those in physical need. As we relax in the warmth and comfort of our homes, we think of those who have no homes. We thank you for the work of the St. Martin's Trust, who give shelter to the homeless. May we support them with our time, our money, and our prayers. As we enjoy fun and laughter with family and friends, we call to mind people who are sad because their loved ones are no longer with them, or because they have become estranged from family members. We pray that they might find comfort in their memories and pleasure in making new friends, and that we might be alert to their needs. As we remember the shepherds who worshipped at the manger, we think of those people who feel marginalized by society, who because of their personality or their social position do not feel comfortable in the company of others or have no hope for the future. We pray that we might be aware of their problems and offer them our support. As we remember the wise men, we pray for all statesmen, rulers and leaders, that they may be given the wisdom to know and the courage to do what is right. May they think of the common people on whose behalf they must speak and act, and help them to understand that keeping your laws is the key to happiness. We are aware of the needs of people in our own fellowship. We think of those who are ill, either in hospital or at home. We think of those who are spending Christmas alone. We think of those for whom Christmas is a poignant time as they mourn the loss of loved ones. Father, we know the needs of some people, but you know all our needs and love us all. Finally, we ask that you will be with us all this Christmas, that our hearts may be filled with joy and peace. May your love shine on us, bringing light to all our hearts and minds. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, I'd like to thank Shona and Anna for playing for us, leading the singing so well. Thank you to our two special visitors, and special thanks to Louise. The idea was that we got together to plan this service, but it didn't quite work out like that, so thank you for your patience, Louise. And thank you to our two techno wizards on the sound desk, who've put in a lot of work to help with our service. Let us join in our closing hymn, which Well, we have to sing it on Christmas morning, don't we? Oh, come all ye faithful. By saying the blessing together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Don't forget tea, coffee, and mince pies.